Hello everyone, this is Corinne Rayson from The Crew Coach on The Wellbeing Project. I look forward to sharing this interview with you where I talk to Glenn, who is a head chef, and he gives us great insights into what it is like to work in the galley. We also talk about teamwork and how you can improve communication between departments.
So I've got Glenn with us today. Glenn actually commented on a post on Facebook yesterday. Jodie and I put a video where we discussed physiological issues that happen on super yachts based on burnout and sleep deprivation. So I am so happy to have connected with Glenn and the fact that he engaged with the post, because we're going to hear things from his perspective. So Glenn started off in the working on cruise ships and then proceeded to work on the super yachts, and he is a freelance chef, but he's just doing so much at the moment and got so many tickets. So I'm going to pass it over to you to tell us how you got from the cruise line industry into super yachts and the tickets that you currently have and why you feel it's important to expand on your skill set.
Hello everyone, good morning. Thank you very much, Corinne. It's a pleasure to be here. I started on cruise ships in 2005. 13 years ago. Oh my god, the time flies. And I started on super yachts 2010-2011. I had been very lucky to be freelancing all this time, very, very busy. The transition was a bit hard, very closely. Receive and accept people easily. You have really to build your way to the industry. As you mentioned, having your qualifications is extremely important. That's something that I've got from my mom. She always told me, study, you know, and I was taking the learning part as the most important, but the tickets are also very important. I've got a bit of my engineering AEC. I'm very happy and proud chef to have the AEC, the base keeper. My background before the maritime career, I was in the hospitality industry. So I was doing bartending, waitering, especially for foreigners because of my language skills. So yeah, I can do a bit of stewie too. And actually, I love to keep the boats tied and organized and cleaning all over. I prefer the deck, always in open space, in touch with nature. Actually, to balance the chef life to also closed inside of the galley.
True. That's good. I was going to ask you with regards to the post that was put up yesterday, what did you take away from that, or what did you relate to?
Yeah, actually being a chef, we are one of the positions that have the longest working hours. So for me, coming from this background, always working on touristic place, I have been always working long hours. Also on the cruise ships, our contracts have really, really long hours. So As the chef aspect had been always easy for me to handle that, but what I identified on the post was the general system on the boats. I think it's always easy to manage timing, you know. If you have to work 16, 18 hours, why not taking a 20-minute break? As I told you, as a chef, I cannot just stop cooking, but some positions have easier days than others. So I think that it's the chance for one help the other. When some other positions can cover the colleagues to give them the chance to have a little break. 20 minutes, we just pump up the energy. And actually, Leonardo da Vinci, he had this weird schedule that he was sleeping every 4 hours. So I'd like to take these to my life as much as I can, you know. Even on short nights, short sleeping time, I like to have quick naps along the day. Even in the bus, if I'm in the bus, you know, just lie a little bit, close the eyes, breathe, and try to relax for a couple of minutes.
You said something about the owner and 4 hours. What was that?
Leonardo da Vinci, he used to have 4 hours sleep schedule. So I tried to take that to my life. He every 4 hours, he used to have a 45 minutes break, something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's interesting.
So I think on super yachting, if we had this kind of schedules, you know, along a busy day, if we can apply that, you know, send our colleagues, okay, go to your 20 minutes little break. I cover you. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, finishing a cabin, finishing to do the deck part, or finishing the crew mess, doing some dishes. I think especially those, some boats, they really respect the 10 o'clock break or the 3 o'clock break. And I think that's a great time. You know, you can go to the cabin, put your legs down, close your eyes, breathe for 10, 20 minutes, half an hour, and you come back fresh. And then you can face those really, really long days. But that needs to come from the management, you know, from the head departments. They have to do that.
Yeah, that's right. And what I hear you saying is that, like, when you work on a yacht, you don't work you shouldn't work in isolation. You're part of a team. So you should work collectively together. So it's called collaborative leadership. And I think, like, it is more effective if you have an open mindset where you're not like, this is my job and that's your job, so I'm not going to do your job. It's like asking each other, how can I support you? How can I help you? And by understanding everyone's roles and how they work, then you can support each other better.
Definitely. But again, as I said, I think it needs to come from the head departments. They need to really take care of the environment. Especially you as a coach, you understand how it's important the human relationship, human resource, especially on a boat too. It's a closed environment. We don't have much space to go out and, you know, get away of the crew quarters. And that's when I think that the head departments, they have talks and always looking for improvements on their personal lives and career and leading. That's the idea, leading and sharing all this knowledge and skills along the boat.
And that comes with the yacht's culture as well. So it's behaviors that you should see across the board in all departments, and you should be all working towards a similar vision, and that builds the culture of the yacht, which is so, so important. So from your experience, have you seen any poor leadership or ineffectiveness in leadership to be able to support a positive culture on board?
Being freelancing, I saw everything, all the bads and all the goods. It turns really hard how to express that, because it's a small environment. So it you know, when people get on that rhythm, very busy, 2-3 months on a roll, it's really hard to bring back to the starting point and start to apply those things. People really go fast with the flow. And again, it's a small environment. It turns really hard to the head department to get away of that after 2-3 months. So the yachting community, as you said, it's a very small niche. We have lots of meetings and speeches, lots of events, big events, all the boat shows happening all over the planet all the time. And I think these companies, agencies should be really pushing more to this point when we have the opportunity for that. Usually it's always the good excuse, you know, we are busy, first we work hard. Actually, I never saw job as a job, always I saw as a playground. So for me, it's not working hard when you're enjoying what you do. I can do my 16 hours and I'm extremely happy with that. But as you said, the burnout really hits the ground at some time. And it's going to be impossible not to get stressed. But as long as, you know, on the busy time, on the busy days, you can get stressed. But when we finish a successful operation, just come to your colleague, to your fellow crewmate, and say, "Sorry, you know, I was a bit nervous. I've got my personal problems. Okay, we can have a beer now. Big hug. That's going to start again. Next week, we can have another crash again. As long as the successful the operation is successful, and then you see that as a weak point to be straightened in the future."
Hmm. And I think it comes down to what I'm hearing you saying is communication. So it's, yes, we do get stressed. And when we're tired, we might say things that we don't mean. But we've also got to understand that our comments can impact people and leave them feeling disengaged. But it's always readdressing the issue. So having that self-awareness within yourself and saying, "Oh, I might have upset him or her based on what I've said, that comment," and then just following it up and just saying, "Hey, I was really stressed out in the kitchen, and I just wanted to apologize if I insulted you or hurt you in any way."
I think also vulnerability. I think it's extremely important. When you show your weak points, people really relate to that. And seeing the whole picture now, all our chat and the last video chat, I think the leadership always crows a bit of that that power and that authority. And I think these are those situations that the vulnerability is more important. You know, it's not because it's a head department, it's a lead deckhand, or it's a chief stewardess or a head chef that we cannot get out of the step and say, "Sorry, yeah, sorry, my mistake. I was tired, I was stressed, I have my personal problems," and just show vulnerable, you know. "Sorry, you know, I really want to apologize, and let's go and restart, make it a new beginning. Get some cookies." I'm making some cookies to show that, you know. I mean, as a chef, it's always nice that we can spoil our crew and make something for them. Yeah, exactly.
100%. Vulnerability is such an important quality to have, and I know it takes courage, but it's by being vulnerable, you're being transparent and you're showing your true self, and people can connect to that, and you'll have way more respect over someone that has a facade and is very managerial in their approach, like bossy. It just doesn't work.
Also breaks the ice for the communication. I'm extremely sparkling and talkable and communicative, but of course when I'm I think this is the chef's side, so when I'm on the boiled mood, turns very hard for me to break the ice, and that's when I think the vulnerability comes and helps with communication. "Sorry, you know, I can see that the moods are a bit boiling today. I want to just come and say, you know, let's gonna talk about that." As you said, it's a bit hard, but there's no way to escape. We are literally on the same boat.
Yeah.
That's the chance to, again, I can't go back home and cry. So why not cry together? Big hug.
Yes, I love that. That's great. Oh, Glenn, thank you so much for your time. It was very valuable. I'm sure the listeners will get a lot out of this. So, yes, thank you again. And I wish you all the best in your pursuit for your passion and your traveling and everything else that you're doing, because you're doing so much and it all sounds so wonderful.
To you, it was a big pleasure. Everything we can do to have a more balanced environment, more harmonious work place. I'm always keen, you know. I have been my whole life at sea. It's my passion. I love that, and I want to do that for a good couple of years. I can see myself on a land-based lifestyle. I love the sea. I love the boats.
You love the boats.
I cannot.
Yeah.
I love the sea life.
Yeah. It is just beautiful and such an experience. Like, not many people can have that experience like, well, I have, you have, and yeah, it's quite unique.
And I think that's what makes us yachties, you know. We have something special. We don't fit our routines. We like this crazy, busy, long hours, working days, and now I come back. Work hard, play hard. Lots of us like our parties, traveling, adventure. that's what makes us Yachtsees. We have these very special character and personalities that bring us together. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It was a really, really pleasure. Big pleasure. And always here. I hope we can do more of these chats and bring the community always together.
100%. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.